Welcome to the NTDC Right Time My Story podcast. The NTDC My Story podcast amplifies the voices of those closest to adoption and foster care and invites them to share both the profound and practical elements of their journey thus far. In this episode, Jennifer shares her thoughts on responding to children in crisis. So stop what you're doing right now and listen to Jennifer's My Story moment.
I actually entered the foster care system at two separate times. The first time I was around 4 or 5, I believe. I went to live at an adoptive placement when I was 8. I was adopted by them at 10, and I ended up going back into the foster care system at 15, and I aged out at 18, and then continued on with post-secondary services and everything like that.
It's important to remember that some experiences for children and youth related to foster care and adoption can be more challenging than others, and crisis can be a regular occurrence.
Altogether, it was 22 foster homes, 2 juvenile detention centers, and 1 group home, so 25. I was with my biological brother, who's a year older than me, and we were very close. We are a sibling group of 5, but we were the only 2 that stayed together. A lot of times in crisis mode, it would be because he was in crisis and whoever was dealing with him was getting aggressive or, you know, putting their hands on him and stuff, and I would just lose it. You know, I would start like shaking or crying. My emotions were just out of hand. When I was older in care, when it would be more crisis mode, like I would let the foster parent or whoever say what they needed to say, and then I would just run away. I just would leave the situation, like I'm not going to stay in this home.
We asked Jennifer about a time when the response to her crisis was positive or helpful.
One story in particular comes to mind. When I came back into custody when I was 15, I would either, you know, run away because they wouldn't put me with my brother or whatever the situation was. And we finally got placed into a foster home together. You know, my brother is pretty rebellious, and him and the foster mother's biological son got into a physical altercation. And it was just like, this is not how things are supposed to be. I was done. Like, I was choosing to leave. I don't want to be in a home like that. As things settled down and I talked to my caseworker, I refused to go to school the next day. And so the foster mom was in the car with me, and she drove me to the school, and she was like, you can't not go to school. She just let me be silent. You know, she was like, I understand why you're doing this, and I understand why you're upset, and you can be upset as long as you want, but I don't want you to leave my house. Kind of makes me teary-eyed. But it was like the first time that someone like was like, you don't have to leave. Like, I don't want you to leave. And I think that that was like the best response that anyone can give when you're in crisis mode, is like, you can freak out as much as you want, and I'm still not going to kick you out.
When it comes to responding to children and youth in crisis, Jennifer has some important perspectives and advice.
For one, I think that foster parents, adoptive parents really need to understand that power struggles happen in every relationship. When I am in crisis mode, I am not seeing you. I'm seeing everyone that has ever hurt me. I'm hearing every bad thing that's ever been yelled at me or every home I've been kicked out of. And you may not be the person that did all that, but you are the face that is in that position at the moment. And sometimes silence and patience and being vulnerable and putting your guns down will teach me that it's okay to put mine down. A lot of times people think, well, we haven't talked about it, so it must be fine now. And it's like, that's not dealing with the crisis. That's not really completing the circle. You kind of jumped out of it. Because there's growth in happiness, but there's also growth in talking about the bad, the arguments. So I think that just coming back after you fought and like being vulnerable and saying like, I know I'm the adult, but I kind of lost it when I said that to you, or I know that you're the child and that I'm putting a lot of expectations on you, but I want to hear what you have to say, even if I don't agree with it. We're all humans. And at the end of the day, you're not stronger if all you did was scream or point.
Here is where you're going to want to lean in and really listen carefully.
First and foremost, just the use of silence. Like, people get so uncomfortable with silence, and sometimes people just need to collect their thoughts, especially if you're in crisis mode. The last and key part when it comes to foster and adoptive parents is making sure that you don't let it be like, you won't be able to stay here if we can't get through this, or if you don't do what I want, because it's all relationship building. It's all about growth. It's like the quote, if you can't love me at my worst, then you don't deserve me at my best. Asking permission, like giving that's a way to give power. Like, do you just want a hug right now? Or like, can we just go for a walk? My name is Jennifer, and this has been my story. Thank you for listening.
NTDC was funded by the Children's Bureau Administration on Children, Youth, and Families, Administration for Children and Families, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, under grant number 90CO1134. The contents of this podcast are solely the responsibility of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of the Children's Bureau.